The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am you may also be. And you know the way to where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know the way where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or else, believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to break one of the all-time rules of preaching. Don't spend any time talking about the original language, in this case Greek. But I'm going to do it for a firm reason. I think it helps us understand what our gospel lesson is about. The Greek word for God is theos. We get theology from that word, hence logos, words, theos, God, theology, words about God. And theos, in common usage, was a generic word. It could refer to Zeus or Isis or God Almighty. And any of the various things that have been labeled a God. The Greek language also has this little quirk that nouns like God often have a definite article with them. That's a fancy word for the. If we're being really wooden, almost every time you saw "believe in God," you would translate it "believe in the God." In one way, it's very bad English. But I think that's the clue to Jesus' usage. Because Jesus doesn't talk about any small g God. He never refers to anything else as divine. When Jesus is talking about the God, ho theos, he's talking about one person, the Father. Now, I know why our translation teams do this. It's reading Trinitarian theology that we just confessed and sang that isn't really settled until Nicene Creed around 325 AD. It's reading that back into the first century. But I'm a preacher. We believe, we teach, and we confess the Nicene Creed. And it makes a lot more sense to hear, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in the Father, believe also in me, especially in the gospel according to John. Because Jesus is not talking about a God, a person that he does not know. He's speaking about his Father, the Father. He has descended from heaven and become incarnate to make the Father known. And Jesus here, on the night he was betrayed, because that's when this is taking place, is making sure his disciples hear some things plainly. And the first thing he wants them all to know is that his Father's house has many rooms. And even better, through passion and cross and resurrection and ascension, the entire purpose of Jesus is to prepare a place for you in the house of his Father. And he gives us this promise, I will come again and will take you to myself. This should be good news. You don't have to worry about keeping the law perfectly. You don't have to worry that getting into the Father's house is reserved for, I don't know, 144,000. Or for those who have a sealed temple marriage. Or having said exactly the right prayer at the right time. Or having enumerated all of your sins to a priest. There's no velvet rope keeping you out of this house. No, not any of the other limiting devices that have been thought up over the centuries and the millennia. In the Father of Jesus' house, there are many rooms. And he has gone to prepare a place for you. But leave it to Thomas. In John's gospel, Thomas is the twin. He's our twin. He's the cutout for us, who always comes up with the sticking point. Jesus, we have no idea where your Father's house is. How will we ever get there? How can we know the way? Now, Jesus has already said that he's going to come again and make sure you get there. So in one sense, we don't need to know. Believe in the Father, believe also in me. But that's not where Jesus leaves it. He makes explicit the way. I am the way and the truth and the life. And now again, there are a lot of potentially competing ways that that statement could be understood. You could understand it something like the Muslims understand Muhammad. He's the great prophet. Which honestly is something like the Buddhists understand Buddha. The first human to achieve enlightenment, who stayed to teach everyone else the Four Noble Truths and the Eightfold Path to Enlightenment. The Mormons have a similar setup. Jesus is the great example. He's the way and the truth and the life insofar as he shows us what we must do, how we must live to achieve our own world. And honestly, That's the way most of the world's religions look at the founder, or the guru, or whoever started it. It's how liberal, meaning post-Enlightenment Christianity, wants to take Jesus. He's a great teacher. He shows us the way to our best true life now. But that's not what Jesus here means at all. And here is the verse that you can cite to the next clown who claims something like Jesus never claimed he was God. Because that's exactly what he does. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Let that sink in. Especially if you accept what I started with, believe in the Father, believe also in me. Thomas, our twin, when any of us sees Jesus, we have seen the Father. We have seen God. He is the way, the truth, and the life, not because he's some guru, but because he's the creator of all. Everything we are, that we have ever been or ever will be, rests upon his being. Believe in the Father, believe also in the Son. Now, the Trinity. Thinking about one God in three persons. The Holy Spirit comes later in this chapter. Jesus promises to send the Spirit, but right now he's only talking about the Father and himself, the Son. But the whole Trinity is something of a mystery. And by mystery, I mean that we can state it dogmatically. That's what the creeds do. This is the revealed reality. One God in three persons. And we can experience that in various ways. When we receive our daily bread, that's the providence of the Father. When forgiveness is real, and we have those moments of pure grace, we experience the Son. And when our hearts overflow, or we know that our prayers have been heard, that's an experience of the Spirit. There are certainly others. I just think those are some of the more common ones. We can experience the Trinity in their persons. But understanding, it's beyond us. It remains a mystery to be confessed. And I think this is a bit of Philip's desire. He's thinking of the Father and the Son, or Jesus, as separate beings, as if there were two gods and two lords. Again, the Spirit comes a bit later. But Philip says, Lord, show us the Father. Jesus, now you are talking straight. So maybe it's time that you can lift the veil and have the Father stand right next to you. Maybe a bit like a force ghost of Anakin Skywalker or something at the Return of the Jedi. And if that's too silly, I'm sorry. And honestly, Jesus treats Philip's request as a little bit of silliness. Have I been with you so long, and you still don't know me, Philip? A force ghost of the Father is not going to show up because God in himself is one. There might be three persons, but there is only one God. And whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? If we've seen Jesus, we have seen God. And Jesus develops it a bit more. And I think somewhere along there, he kind of realizes that it's just beyond us. And so he simply says, believe me, that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. And if that appeal to pure dogmatic faith isn't enough, he adds, believe on account of the works. The miracles, the passion, the resurrection, and the ascension. Let the works feed your faith. And that leads to what I take to be one of the hardest lines of the Bible. Because if you just take it by itself, I'm not sure it feels like the truth. If you believe, you will do the works that I do. And greater works than these. I don't seem to have the ability to heal every dread disease. I've never gathered crowds of 5,000 hanging on every word, let alone raised people from the dead. Those might be the works that Jesus points to that we might believe in him. The work that he came to do was to reveal that the Father's house has many rooms, and that one of them is yours, and that Jesus himself has prepared it for you. Your sins have been forgiven, and you have eternal peace with the Father. And that is the ongoing work. Jesus has gone to the Father. He sits at the right hand of the Father, ensuring that our prayers are heard. Whatever you ask in my name. And he sent the Spirit that empowers the Word and the sacraments, that it powers our life together, that creates in us a clean heart. And this is what I think I can say about it. At the Ascension, Luke records that there were about 120 people who believed. All those works that Jesus did gathered 120 souls. And gathering those souls is the work that Jesus does. And then on Pentecost, through Peter's preaching, about 3,000 were added that day. 3,000 people who have a home with the Father. And the church, preaching believe in the Father, also in the Son and the Holy Spirit, has gone on in that work to this very day. Whoever believes in me will do the works that I do. Adding souls to the Father's house. And that is the work of the church. The work that Jesus does, that the Spirit does, that we are enabled to do. So if you don't believe based upon the witness alone, believe on the account of the works. Something as shaky as the church, and the church always appears shaky, but something as shaky as the church doesn't add billions of souls if God is not working through it. Amen.